and welcome to the Destiny Prague podcast. Our heart is to see people empowered by the love of Jesus and activated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God is still relevant today, and we trust that this message will bless you, challenge you, and fill your heart and mind with the truth of who God is and who you are in Christ. We believe that God has a plan for your life, and we want to journey a road of discipleship with you as you discover who He has called you to be. If you'd like to connect with us, check out our website at destinychurch.cz. Let's go.
Thank you so much, Donovan. Good morning. It's an amazing thing that only God can do, that you can be in a place for the first time. You can be in a country for the first time that we've never visited before, and it feels like home. Only God can do that, and it's because of the Holy Spirit of God. Because we're family, although we just met, we're family. And thank you, Donovan. I want to thank Jessica as well. We're praying for smooth delivery when the baby decides it's time, for sure. Today is Mother's Day, and I would not be here if it weren't for my wife, the mother of our children, because we met in Bible college. She's been my girlfriend for 36 years, and my wife for 34 years. And she was a missions major. The dream God put in her heart was to be a missionary to Germany. She's half German. Her mother is 100% German. And her parents met in Germany and married. And we met in Bible college. God knew I needed my own missionary. That's how much of a mess that I was. And so we fell in love and we married. And shortly after we got married, I told her, don't ever ask me to leave the United States. I'm never going to do it. I'm an American. I love America. I'm never leaving. Not for vacation, not for any reason whatsoever. And here I stand. How is that possible? For 18 years, she prayed. 18 years, she prayed and just said, God, speak to him. Speak to him. And after 18 years, many invitations to minister outside of the United States, I said yes. And I have no regrets, but it's because of her. And let me just say this right now, even before we look into Word, whatever your greatest fear is, it's an obstacle to keep you from your destiny. Yeah. I was afraid to leave the United States. It was because of fear. But my destiny was on the other side of that fear. The fear that you face is really showing you the direction that you need to go. And so I'm here today because of her. And I'm going to ask, Susie, would you come up for just a moment and just greet the Destiny family?
Good morning, everybody. Such a beautiful congregation. Oh, my goodness. It's so great to be with you today. And we do just love your leaders, Fiona and Liam, and of course, Dylan and Cammy. And, you know, we've been in ministry for 34 years, and we know it's important that you have people in your life that just encourage you and help you go the distance. You know, and when we met Liam, immediately got knit our hearts together at a conference in Pensacola, and it's just been an honor to be able to come and just minister in his different churches. And really, we told him we just enjoy just hanging out together. We went to Dachau with him on a tour, but it was a train right there and back. It was just being able to visit and just encourage each other. You know, we have the same struggles, and so it's just an honor to be here, and we're looking forward to seeing them next week. But you know, we sing with that song that how God is faithful to every generation. And I just think, you know, we're so honored to live in this season of history. And it's full of its challenges. And you have yours here and we have ours back in New York. But God is faithful. And it just brings me joy just to see the younger generation being reached here. We're doing the same thing in New York. And it's just like being able to raise up that generation because God's kingdom is advancing. And each and every one of us get to be a part of that. And so it's just a joy to be here. I'm just like overwhelmed sitting on the front row. But we're honored to be with you guys today. Thank you.
Isn't she awesome?
Yes.
She's awesome. Yeah. We have three daughters, 29 years old, 27 years old, and 25 years old. Our youngest daughter, our oldest and our youngest are married, and our youngest daughter is expecting our first grandchild at the end of June, and we are so excited about that. And it's just an honor, really, to be with you here today. And one of the things that I do, just a little side hobby, I guess you'd call it, because I have three daughters, kind of grew up girls all around, I also am a coach. I coach American football in the school, the public high schools, just so that I can spend some time with the guys, because there's girls all the time. So I need to spend, my wife said, you need a hobby. And I said, I know my hobby is coaching. So in the fall, it will be my 14th year coaching. And I've taken two 10-year breaks because of the church. The church is my number one priority in terms of ministry and work. And that's just a little side hobby there. So I have many, many, many sons. I have about 500 sons that I've coached through the years. And it's been wonderful to see them now come into our church. And I've been able to officiate their weddings. And I've been able to baptize them as they put their faith in Christ. And I've been able to dedicate their babies. Now they're fathers and husbands, and it's just been a great honor. Because we've been in New York, where we are for 34 years. What's today? The 12th? May 20th will be 34 years that we've been pastoring there in New York. And so I send you greetings, bring you greetings from Valley Church in Poughkeepsie, New York. We're very far from, it's very different New York's where we are. New York City is about 1 hour drive from us, but we live out in the country. It's not what people think of when they think of New York skyscrapers and all of this. But the same Spirit of God is here as is in New York. And so what I want to talk about today, what's really on my heart to share with you today, is the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter. We talk a lot about relationships. We enjoy a wonderful relationship with Liam and with Fiona. And I'm so grateful that even in March, I was at a pastor's retreat, about 14 pastors, and Liam was there. And we were hanging out in the hot tub just talking about Jesus there in Florida. But relationships are so important. And that being said, I want to share with you today the most important thing about any relationship that you'll ever have. Any relationship that you ever have. If we can get this right, it will change our friendships. It will change our family relationships. It will change our work relationships. This is the heart of the matter. And so where I want to start is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Message translation, which is an English paraphrase translation, and I love how it puts it. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, focus on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. So many times we want to change the outside things. Our culture wants to change the outside things, but God wants to change us from the inside out. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. And so my prayer today is when our time of gathering is finished, that we will have quickly responded to what God wants from us. Unlike the culture around you, it's always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. How many of you know that God wants the best for you? He wants the best for you. He wants the best for you, and many times we don't even know what the best is for ourselves, but God does. God, so many times in my life, I've wanted things that were not the best for me. And they hurt me instead of holding out for God's best for me. And so the heart of the matter, we don't want our culture that's pressuring from the outside to form who we are. But we want God to change us from the inside out to become the best that God has created you and I for. It all begins in the heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." We live from our heart, from the inside out. Let me give you a quick, and is it okay if I walk around just a little bit? I'm a walker when I talk. So, okay, walk around from here to here. Okay, I got it. Let me give you a quick overall picture of what the Bible is about. In the Old Testament, God's people that he chose Abraham, and from him he said, "I'm going to make you a father of a great nation," as he's working the plan of redemption to save humanity, all that would believe in him, the Bible says, and believe in Jesus. To them he gave the right to become children of God. Common misunderstanding that humanity has, we're all God's children. The only problem with that is the Bible. The Bible says, to all who believed in him, Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And so God chose Abraham and he said, "I'm going to make you a father of a great nation, and from you all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed." And as he showed him how to be a family, we've come to Moses, and God instructed Moses. He said, "This is the way that I want you to act. This is the way that I want you to worship. This is the way that I want you to live." And many of those things were external things, things on the outside that could be seen. And then we come to the New Testament, and God sends his son, Jesus Christ, because he saw that humanity could not live the way that God wanted him to live. And so Jesus, fully man and fully God, lived a perfect and sinless life. He showed us how to live the life God wanted us to live, without sin. And Jesus is always, when you read his teachings and his words, he's always taking from the outside things, and he always pushes it deeper into the heart. Not external, but internal. The heart. Let me give you one example of this. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is being questioned. The religious leaders of the day are trying to trick him. It says some Pharisees came and tried to trap him with this question: should a man be allowed to divorce his wife for just any reason? In Judaism 2,000 years ago, a man could divorce his wife for breaking a dish when she was washing a plate. We're done. We're finished. You just write a letter. We're done. It's over. For any reason whatsoever, he could divorce her. Jesus responds and he says, "Haven't you read the scriptures? They record that from the beginning, God made them male and female. And he said, this explains why a man will leave his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two will be united into one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together." This is one of the most often quoted verses all throughout the Bible, all the way from Genesis. Over and over, and Jesus repeats it as well. Then they ask him this question in response: "Then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife written notice of divorce and send her away?" Jesus replied, "Moses permitted divorce only as a concession," and look at what he says, "to your hard hearts. But it was not what God had originally intended." Anytime, every time that we see a divorce in marriage, it's because one or both of the spouses, their hearts had become hardened. That's what Jesus says. It's about the condition of the heart. It's not about what the spouse did or didn't do or should have done and didn't do. It's about the heart. The Pharisees were asking about the external things. And Jesus said, "You've got it all wrong. It's about the heart of the matter." It's so interesting in the Old Testament when God gives instruction to Moses as Israel is teaching them how to become a nation when he brings them out of slavery in Egypt. He actually tells Moses, this is the way I want you to design the priest's wardrobe. Aaron, who was Moses' brother, the first high priest. He says, whenever Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the son of Israel over his heart. The tribes of Israel on his garment were written over his heart. On the breastplate of decision, as a continuing memorial before the Lord. Thus Aaron will always bear the means of making decisions for the Israelites over his heart before the Lord. Did you catch that? That Aaron would have the names over his heart, and those names would filter his decisions. And so today I ask you this question. What names are written on your heart? Because the names that are written on your heart is the very way that you filter your decisions as well. Sometimes they're not the names that we wish were written on our heart. Oftentimes the names that are written on our heart are the names of those who have hurt us and broken our heart. Oftentimes the names that are on our hearts are those that we were counting on, we were depending on, and they weren't there for us. And we filter decisions about relationships today with someone else because of someone's name that was written on our heart when our heart was wounded. I'm not an old man, but I'm not exactly a young man anymore either. I'm somewhere in between growing up and getting old. When I was 12 years old, in school, shy, I had beautiful blonde hair. It was just so magnificent way back then. There were three boys my age that said they were my friends. They told me they were my friends. But every day when we would go out to play on the playground, after we walked around the corner, they would jump on me and punch me and kick me. My nose would bleed. My pants would be torn. They'd be laughing at me. And then we'd come inside and the teacher would say, "What happened?" And I said, "Oh, I fell down. It was an accident." And this went on day after day after day. I can't really remember what I had for dinner last night, but I remember their names. And their names were written on my heart. And because of what those three boys did to 12-year-old Greg Williamson, I filtered all of my decisions for years and years about other people through those names. I wouldn't let people get close to me. Because if they said, "Oh, I'm your friend." No, I've heard that before. And it caused me not to be able to trust people. Even as a pastor. Leading a church, I would only let people so close to me because I was sure that they were going to turn on me. What names are written on your heart today? Maybe a father who wasn't there for you when you needed him. Maybe a teacher or a mother or a coach or a friend, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Someone you trusted that took advantage of you, wronged you, hurt you. Whose name's written on your heart that just like Aaron, you're filtering all of your decisions through today? See, if we don't get to the heart of the matter, it affects every one of our relationships. We have to talk about the heart of the matter. Back to the Old Testament, and I know I'm jumping around, but just follow me. It'll make sense. One of the times that the nation of Israel was disobedient. And God said, if you obey me in the Old Testament, I'll bless you, I'll prosper you. But if you disobey me, I'll allow other nations to come in and take you captive. This happened in the Old Testament in Babylon, the Babylonian captivity. And what the king of Babylon would do, he would take the finest of the Jewish young men and he would change the culture and change in one generation, indoctrinate them in the way of Babylon. Babylon represents the world system. All the way from back in Genesis, when at the Tower of Babel, when they said, we'll make a tower to reach up to God. We don't need God's help. The Bible says that God looked down and he said, I've got to do something about this. I'm going to have to confuse their language. And so he came down and he confused their language because he said, if they do this, nothing will be withheld from them. That was the beginning of the world system. We don't need God. We can do it on our own. That's Babylon. That's the world system of Babel, Babylon. Isn't it interesting? I believe next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Do you realize that at the day of Pentecost, God reversed the Tower of Babel? At the Tower of Babel, he confused the language of the humanity. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and all of humanity heard the gospel in their native tongue. It was the inverse of the world system when the church was born on the day of Pentecost. In this Babylonian captivity, look at what it says in Daniel chapter 1. The book of Daniel is about the Babylonian captivity. It says, then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court, this is Babylon, the king of Babylon, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men. So he wasn't looking for the old timers. He's looking for the young generation, like yourselves. Without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. And he was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians, indoctrinate them in the Babylon, the world system, the culture of the world. And the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine for the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years. Isn't that interesting, 3 years? How long was Jesus with the disciples, training the disciples? 3 years. 3 years. Not a long, 36 months, give or take. 3 years. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. And watch what the Babylonian culture did to Daniel and his friends. Among those were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. And the chief official gave them new names. The world system renamed them. The godless system of this world said, this is not who you are anymore. You are who we say you are. And the chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. He said, we need to indoctrinate them in our culture, and we need to tell them who they really are, not who God says they are. We need to change their identity, change the way that they view each other, change the way that they view themselves, change the name that's written on their heart, so they'll filter all of their thoughts and decisions through the name we name them, not the name that God gave them. Let me break this down real quick. The name Daniel, it literally means God is my judge. Daniel's, his parents named Daniel, God is the one that I'm living my life before. And they said, change his name to Shadrach. I'm sorry, to Belshazzar, which literally means lady, protect the king. What a flip in identity. So your identity is not God is my judge. Your identity is woman. You be a protector of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. They sought to confuse his identity at the essence and core of who he was. That's the system of this world. It's nothing new. This is thousands and thousands of years old. The system of this world. Hananiah. Hananiah means Yahweh has been gracious. What a beautiful name. Yahweh has been gracious. To Shadrach, I am fearful of God. A distorted spirituality. This is what the world system wants to do to you today. This is what the world system wants to do to me today. To distort our spirituality so we don't see God clearly the way he wants you and I to see him. Shadrach, I'm fearful of God. From Mishael, who is what God is? It's like, God is so incredible, there's no one like him. That was his given name. To Meshach, I am despised and contemptible and humiliated. Instead of God is so incredible, who is like him? I am despised, contemptible, and humiliated. Wounded emotions. Wounded emotions. From Azariah, Yahweh has helped to Abednego, the servant of Nebo. Nebo was one of the false gods of Babylon. Instead of God is a helper, I'm a slave, I'm a servant to Nebo, a redirection in purpose. This is still what the world system is doing today. It wants to do it to you. It wants to do it to me. It wants to write names over our hearts through which we filter all of our decisions. And so what can we do? What can we do to stand against this? I'm glad that you ask. I want to tell you. I want to answer. Here's the first thing. Let God who designed me define me. Let the God who designed me define me. As I like to put it this way, you were created on purpose for a purpose. There's no such thing as accidental children. There's no such thing. There is a such thing as accidental parents. There's no such thing as accidental children. God is the giver of life. It doesn't matter what the circumstance, the situation is. God is the one that gives life. I've prayed for too many couples, too many married couples through the years that are trying to have a baby, and they can't have a baby. And then the baby comes. God is the giver of life. Let the God who designed me define me. Psalm 139 really, I think, is where we find a lot of answers. The antidote to Babylon that's trying to put names on our hearts that aren't ours to have. Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Boy, if that's not a Mother's Day verse right there. "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." The first thing I want to encourage you and challenge you to do is let the God who designed you define you. You know, I was a pretty good athlete when I was a younger man. And college, university coaches used to come and watch me play American football. And they would always go to my father and they'd say, "If your son was just 6 feet tall..." I'm not, I'm 5'9". They're like, "If your son was just 6 feet tall, he would have a tremendous career ahead of him. But God decided he wanted me to be a pastor. And so I'm going to shrink Greg down to 5'9". I have a brother, my older brother, same parents. He's 6'3". How did that happen? And he's not an athlete at all. Waste of height, total waste of height. And it took me many years to just feel comfortable that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't have an accident. It wasn't an accident. I'm not an accident. He said, let Greg be a little bit shorter because he's made on purpose for a purpose. Let the God who designed you define you. Here's the second thing. See God the right way. It's so important, our view of God, not to view it through the names of those who have hurt us and broken our hearts and caused us pain, not to see God through that lens, but to see God the right way. Psalm 139, verse 17 says, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. Can I put it this way? God not only loves you, God really likes you. Yeah. You're his favorite. In theology, we call it the omnipresence of God, that God is everywhere. But not only is God everywhere, but all of God is everywhere simultaneously. Do you know what that means for you and for me? That means we have never lived a moment of our life without God's undivided attention and focus being on each of us as an individual. Every moment of your life, you have God's full attention. Every moment. See God the right way. Third thing is allow God to heal your heart. Allow God to heal your heart. Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. If there's anything that I can say to you today, from 34 years as being a pastor, I was 5 years old when I knelt down by the bed and prayed and asked God to be my Savior, Jesus to be my Savior and Lord. Susie and I both, we don't have testimonies about addictions and all kinds of things. Our testimony is about the keeping power of Jesus Christ. It's not us. He's kept us. He's kept us. And I would say this from everything that I know from theology and the Bible and pastoring. It's so important. Let God heal your heart. Heal those broken places. Heal those fractured spaces. Those names that the world has wanted to write on your heart. The things that people have said about you that have hurt you. That have caused like spears in your heart. Allow God to heal your heart. How do we stand against what the world wants to impose upon us? Let God who designed me define me. See God the right way. Allow God to heal my heart. And the fourth thing is this, that I'm finished. Invite God into my future. Invite God into your future. And could I put it this way? Don't just invite God to be a part of your future, to be an addition to your future. Invite God to be at the center of your future. Because it's only when we allow him to heal our hearts, remove those names of those who have hurt us and let us down and broken our hearts, and instead write the name of Jesus Christ on our heart, so that every decision that we make, every thought that we have, is filtered through that name, all of our relationships change drastically and completely. Invite God into my future. David wrote this, Psalm 139. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. David said, I trust you with my future. I trust you. It's in your hands. Not just to be a part of my future, but to lead me into my future. I trust you, God. You will love who it is that you become if you'll allow God to touch and heal your heart. That's the heart of the matter. And so I'm going to ask right now, would you just bow your heads with me and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for each and every person, Lord, and in this room right now, those that are joining on the stream. God, you know each and every one of us better than we know ourselves. And this world has tried to push names upon our hearts to redefine our identity, to tell us who we are supposed to be. But God, you designed us. And we come to you today and we want you to define us. Not the world system, but you, O Heavenly Father. So God, I just pray for every man, every woman, Lord, here. Lord, do what only you can do to heal the hearts, heal the cracks of our hearts, so that the only name that remains that's written on our heart is not a name of someone who hurt us or abused us or disappointed us or let us down, but the only name that's written on our heart is the one who lived for us, who died for us, who rose from the dead for us. The name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Do what only you can do, Lord. We trust you. Help us to see you in the right way. God, we invite you into our future today. We trust you to bring out the best in us as we walk with you and you show us the path of life. Father, I just thank you for Destiny Church Prague. I thank you that Destiny Church Prague can trust you with its future. And that future is brighter than anyone can imagine. It's bolder than anyone has yet seen. And it's bigger than anyone can comprehend. We trust you today, Lord. You are a good, good Father. Eternity is not going to be long enough for us to worship you and thank you for all that you have done. In Jesus' name, the strong Son of God, we pray today.